from London, BBC Caribbean Report.
In a world that is dividing into large trading blocks, the Caribbean at the moment fits nowhere.
Time is running out, and the Caribbean is in danger not only of being marginalized, but of being entirely passed by.
In today's edition of BBC Caribbean Report, Pat Thompson of the Caribbean Association of Industry and Commerce and David Jessop of the West India Committee express their fears for a region unprepared for the tremendous challenges ahead. I'm Hugh Crosskill, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. Unless Caribbean leaders and public and private sector officials address with a greater sense of urgency the growing challenges to the region's survival, the Caribbean will end up in the backwaters of international concern. That, in essence, is a view shared by the chief executive of the Caribbean Association of Industry and Commerce, Pat Thompson, and the executive director of the London-based West India Committee, David Jessop. The approach of 1992 and the European single market, events in Eastern Europe, and U.S. moves towards a free trade area, these are all developments which will have a tremendous impact on the Caribbean's future. But time is running out. In today's program, we talk with Mr. Thompson and Mr. Jessop about the problems and the opportunities. Recently, Mr. Jessop spoke in Puerto Rico and outlined a fairly long list of failings on the part of the Caribbean to gear itself up properly for the challenges ahead. And as I put it to Mr. Jessop, he seemed to be quite frustrated by the slow pace of progress.
Yes, I think it's true to say that one is frustrated. I wouldn't necessarily describe them as failings. I think part of the problem is that there are so many internationals issues worldwide that need to be addressed, whether they're in trade terms or political terms, is that there has not yet been enough concentration on the key questions in relation to exporting to Europe from the Caribbean and the question of investment attraction. So the catalogue, as it were, I provided of some of the problems facing the Caribbean in developing a stronger relationship with Europe really was an attempt to indicate the issues that needed to be addressed.
Of course, Mr. Thompson, you're the chief executive of the regional umbrella body for Caribbean private sector organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you've seen David Jessop's proposals. What are the major stumbling blocks? What have been the major stumbling blocks to getting these sort of proposals implemented?
Well, I think, information flows, which are not as good as they could be, and we need to organize better mechanisms for ongoing information flows about market realities, about changes in the marketplace, and so on. A greater sense of urgency on the part both of governments and the private sector in the Caribbean about things that need to be put in place to take practical advantage of the opportunities for exporting to Europe. And, of course, a great deal of hard work in fitting companies, particularly small and medium-sized companies, to get their production efficiencies up, their productivity up, to get their packaging and costs right, and their knowledge of shipping, both sea and air opportunities, and of distribution channels in Europe. This is hard, nitty-gritty work, some of which will have to be done through technical assistance programs, with donor assistance, some of which will probably come through joint ventures between European and Caribbean companies.
And how much of the difficulty in getting these things exposed and implemented and the sense of urgency that you require is due to the sort of adversarial role between the private and public sectors in the Caribbean?
I think this is becoming less so, the adversarial role. Where we sometimes have a difficulty is that where the private sector sees clearly some of the practical things that need to be done, because it can't afford to do a good deal of this on its own, it still has to rely on external donor resources. Most of these flow through governments, and accessing that money and getting it in action on programs that are needed is still a long, drawn-out and long-winded process.
But David, wouldn't you say that a lot of those efforts have been scattered, that there's been a lot of money wasted? The time is running out. There's a possibility of a recession in the United States, and at least from a tourism point of view, Cuba opening up. Things really are coming down to the nitty-gritty now.
I think things really are, as you say, coming to the nitty-gritty. 1992, the single European market is virtually upon us, and discussions continue, and I think what one really needs to see is a concerted action plan, and that's something that one hopes will come out of the forthcoming CARICOM heads of government meeting.
As it was hoped would have come out of the last one and the ones before.
Well, I think one has to be frank and say that much discussion has taken place and many good ideas have come out of those meetings, but it's now up to governments working with their private sectors to actually implement detailed programmes.
But, Pat, without wanting, obviously, to be undiplomatic or even rude, let's look at bananas, for instance. They look as if they're going to be the biggest losers of all come 1992. The Caribbean, one feels, has left it extremely late, and indeed, even at this point, are not addressing this subject with the urgency required. Is there a need for more honesty on the part of Caribbean politicians? One gets the feeling sometimes that all these issues have been either brushed aside or kept in the background. They don't want to deal with them up front.
Yes, that's partly it. Partly there are some of the assurances that, you know, bananas, the protocol and so on, this is going to be all right. Europe is going to find a way of protecting the present position on the protocol. We in the private sector keep saying that, you know, the only protection at the end of the day you essentially have is efficient production. And if you're not going to be competitive in bananas for many years, then you've got to look at either alternatives or finding a niche in the market and where you are competitive. And this has got to start happening. Hopefully some of these problems will be addressed at the heads of government in Jamaica towards the end of this month. And in terms of a long-range or medium-range action plan, maybe this will begin to come out of the economic conference that's slated for Port of Spain, I think, in November, because time is running out and the Caribbean is in danger not only of being marginalized, but of being entirely passed by the developments in Europe, not only 1992, but now with Eastern Europe, and I was recently in Germany, and very conscious of what's happening there. And also in North America, not only between US and Canada, but increasingly with Mexico.
Hmm. And wouldn't it be fair to say, David, that many of the benefits that the Caribbean now enjoys under Lomé are going to be extended to other countries under the GATT? And the Caribbean has had a head start and, quite frankly, hasn't made use of it.
I think that's a very distinct possibility, and it would certainly seem that the U.S. administration, many people in the U.S. administration, are very much seeing the developing world as a whole in the context of the GATT-Uruguay round discussions, and that the benefits the Caribbean has had up to now may well become eroded. I think the key point is that the time for talking is rapidly coming to an end, and that while heads of government mean well, it is very much up to the bureaucrats within those governments to find ways to resolve the problem so that the private sector, jointly with government, can begin to develop coherent programs.
So with that in mind, we go to this next heads of government conference with the OECS countries unhappy with the common market instrument implementation date of January 1991. Could you foresee some sort of a split on this issue?
It worries me. I think we're probably going to have one of the Caribbean's famous fudged compromises in which maybe the, certainly Jamaica, Trinidad, Barbados will probably go ahead with the January 1st, 1991 date, and then there will be some phase-in of the OECS territories. But this increasing inability to move together in concert, even on regional problems, does worry me.
The CARICOM Secretary General has talked about a deadline of 1 year after 1992, 1993, for the formation of a CARICOM single market. Realistic?
Well, this was the declaration in Grenada last year, and we very much hope that that could be met. But frankly, at the rate that we're seeing some of the interregional problems lingering and not being resolved, it begins to look not wholly realistic, which is deeply disappointing.
And David, given the fact that now we're seeing countries like the Dominican Republic, Suriname, Puerto Rico, and even Cuba seeking some sort of CARICOM status, is the Caribbean or is CARICOM in danger of stretching itself too wide before it has deepened the process among the 13 English-speaking nations?
I think there is that danger, but one has to remember that, particularly in the case of Suriname and Haiti, these discussions about deepening the integration process have been going on for some years. And there have always been reasons that have been put forward as to why this should not happen. I think the current developments, and perhaps one should set the Cuba issue on one side because that's perhaps a little bit different. The current developments, I mean, really are just an example of the problem the region as a whole finds itself in, that in a world that is dividing into large trading blocks, the Caribbean at the moment fits nowhere. So it's another key issue that the Caribbean has to address and face up to, that it needs to not only stand together as an English-speaking region, but develop some new form of interrelationship with the non-English-speaking Caribbean.
And how important, Pat, do you see this recent announcement by President Bush about concessions for a portion of $12 billion in debt and the possibility of opening up the entire region, Latin America, North America and the Caribbean, to a free trade area?
I haven't been able to read the full statement yet, but it certainly is an interesting statement, and it's one of the possible options that the Caribbean as a region will have to look at. And looking at the fine print of that when I'm able to read that, see how that will affect its relations, say, with Europe on the Lomé. But we certainly, with another private sector organization in Central America, FEDAPRECAP, had a study done earlier this year looking at some of those options, and some kind of non-reciprocal fair trade agreement was one of the ideas mentioned there that we are now exploring at board level and with the public sector.
But then, David, of course, unless things like the common external tariff and the common rules of origin, all these instruments that are essential to regional growth are in place, even this new development of a Latin America Caribbean free trade area could pass a region by.
It could do, but I think one of the interesting developments, and this is something that the region is going to have to come to a common position on, is an increasing desire that seems to be apparent in Washington that no schemes, plans should be developed with and for the region that exclude the Caribbean. There have been other U.S. plans that have solely dealt with Latin America or Central America. The interesting and very complex issue the region will have to deal with in coming to terms with its own internal trading problems is how ultimately that is going to fit into a larger North American trading bloc. And I am fearful that in the extraordinary difficulties that have been experienced in finding an answer to the problems of the region, that this massive opportunity and new challenge is going to be overlooked.
Which brings me to my final question that I'd like to put to both of you. Recently we saw in Guyana, UC Guyana saying, listen, I think it's time for us who led in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s and the 80s to give somebody else a break. Surely our ideas can no longer be applicable in the 1990s. Chetty Jagan responded to that by saying, no way, I'm still in the race. Has the Caribbean reached a point now where the legacy of the Burnhams and the Barrows and the Manleys and the Byrds and the Eric Williams and company need to somehow be pushed back into history and for a new sort of brand of Caribbean leadership to come to the fore, to give the Caribbean the opportunity to fulfill its destiny, free of the kind of trappings and desire for sovereignty and independence and almost isolation that seem to circulate around so much of what these leaders have left behind?
Yes, I have the feeling that we've come to the end of an era and we need to look at new options. And hopefully that process is going to start partly with the heads of government meeting this year, but perhaps more importantly with the economic summit conference in Port of Spain in November, when some new directions have got to be charted and a new plan of action, which is largely going to be implemented by possibly a new crop of leaders coming through later in the 90s, is going to have to be put in place. And I think we have to press very hard for that.
David?
I very much agree with what Pat is saying. It concerns me that groups such as the West Indies Commission principally consist of the old guard, people who contributed substantially to the development of Caribbean society and Caribbean economies. But it seems to exclude some of the younger thinkers within the parties and perhaps even as importantly now, within the private sector within the region. And somehow new mechanisms have to be established. The media also has to pay attention to what those people are saying rather than the people who have spoken historically for the region. As I fear that without that, the Caribbean won't be able to change in the same way as the rest of the world is changing.
David Jessop, Executive Director of the London-based West India Committee, and with him, Pat Thompson, Chief Executive of the Caribbean Association of Industry and Commerce, making up this special edition of BBC Caribbean Report. We'll have more tomorrow. This is Hugh Cross-Gill saying goodbye from London.